so good to be here with you this morning. I've been on vacation for the last little while, and it is just so good to be back and worshiping with you this morning. I love this church family that God has given to us. I want to tell you, we were just singing about God building his kingdom, and I just heard a report just yesterday, heard some news about how God is building his kingdom in our city. There's a guy named Josh Brote. He and his wife Joy are part of our church family, and he works with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And helps get clubs started all over school campuses in the area and Bible studies started there. And once a year, he and some other Fellowship of Christian Athlete leaders host a sports camp at UCLA, and that just happened this past week. This year's sports camp just happened, and we heard yesterday that at that sports camp at UCLA, 192 high school students decided to give their lives to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And another 428, they said, we're recommitting, we're going to walk with the Lord more intentionally this year. So this is exciting to see, to hear of how that effort is reaching students in our city. Really remarkable. Also, want to let you know, we've been in this parable series, Greatest Stories Ever Told, and believe it or not, we've been going through the parables of Jesus since Easter. But today is the last of the parable series. Next week, we're going to be starting a new series in the book of Daniel. So we've been in the New Testament looking at stories Jesus told. We're going to spend some time in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel. Mark is going to be leading us through that series. I was brand new to this church. Before I came on staff, Lindsay and I started attending about 14 years ago, and Mark was preaching through Daniel when we showed up, and I can tell you the man can preach Daniel. You are not going to want to miss this series this summer, so be sure to be here with us. Well, as I said, we're wrapping up this parables series today, and The parables of Jesus, these stories that he told, all of them have this one thing in common. They are all meant to tell us what life with Almighty God is like. If you want to know what life with God is like, Jesus has made that possible for us. And he tells us what that life is like through these stories. So I want to jump into the one that we're looking at today. It's in your bulletin. It's Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 3. Before we look at it, let's just pause for a minute, and I'd like to pray for us. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are here today because of who you are. We're here because of what we believe about you. And what we are seeking to discover about you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would remove every obstacle this morning that might lie between us and knowing you more, receiving more of you. God, would you speak to us today? We trust you and ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at this together. Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 3. Jesus told many stories in the form of parables, like we've been looking at, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. You ever pretended to understand something complicated because you thought the person talking to you assumed you knew what they knew? You just nod along. Yeah. You have no idea what they're talking about. That happened to people who listened to Jesus a lot. His stories sound very simple, but they are very profound. Because these stories are meant to shift our perception of reality. They are meant to call us away and into life with God. And the point of every parable is to describe to us what life with God is like. And so Jesus tells this parable to get people thinking about this question: do I want to receive all that God has for me in life with Him? Or do I want something less than that? Or something else? It's a profound question, and Jesus presents this question about life with Him in a very down-to-earth story about planting seeds in the ground, but it's almost too down-to-earth for us city dwellers because not a lot of us know much about agriculture today. And so this down-to-earth story needs a little bit of explaining. We've got to take Agriculture 101 for a minute this morning to understand what Jesus is talking about here. Now, I went to college at Texas A&M University, last night there were some Aggies in the room, which was exciting, because when you mention that school in Texas, even in church, people whoop, and you didn't whoop this morning, but I'll forgive you for that. But the A in A&M stands for agriculture. And so when I was there, I took just one agriculture class. But there were people there getting degrees in turf management. Believe it or not, they were going to college to learn how grass grows. Exciting major. Those were fun people to hang out with. But you have to understand a few things about agriculture to understand what Jesus is talking about in this story. And so the first thing we've got to know about agriculture is that agriculture is the process of putting stuff in the ground and receiving a reaction that bears fruit. Pretty simple, right? Something outside of the ground, something foreign to that part of the ground, didn't come from that place in the ground, came from somewhere else, some other source, but it was put in this place in the ground, and this foreign substance, this seed, causes a reaction, and that reaction produces a plant that wouldn't happen if the seed had not been planted in that soil. Are you with me? In life with God, God has plans and purposes and hope and guidance for your life that will not come from you. Just like the seed that's planted has to be put in the ground, it doesn't come from that ground, it has to be put there. God has some results He wants to produce in your life that He has to put there. He has some truth for you that He wants to put in your life. He has hope for you that does not exist in your life until He puts it there. He wants to put patience in your life that you don't have until he puts it there. Stability and calm that isn't in you until he puts it there. He wants to put the power and the boldness of his Spirit in your life. And the question that's begged by this agricultural parable is this: do you want to receive all that God has for you in life with him? The second thing you need to know about agriculture is that this story tells of a strange, haphazard way of planting seeds. This sower, think about it for a minute. He's out there just scattering his seeds all over the place. He's throwing some on sidewalks and into thorn bushes and in some shallow soil. Some of it lands in good soil. Well, that guy would have failed my ag class at A&M. That's not the way you plant seeds. There is something strange in the story here, and Jesus wants us to notice that God is not just looking for the right conditions in our lives. He is like the scatterer of seeds. He is scattering his invitation and his call to life with him all over the place. He is so gracious that he calls us to life with him regardless of the condition of our lives. He calls out to us. He proclaims his hope to us. He declares his love for us. He announces his plans for us, waiting to see if we will receive all that he has for us. God wants to give us life with him even before you're seeking it. God wants to do something in your life today that you didn't even know you wanted yet. He wants to do some things with you in his kingdom that you would never seek to try to do on your own. He's got to lead you there. He's got to produce that result in your life. And he's casting his call to life with him, waiting for you to respond. Do you want all that he has in life with him? I think you probably want that. If the God of heaven and earth, the big G God, had something to say to you, something to call you to, if he wanted to plant something in your life and produce something in your life, I think you would want to know that and to receive that, unless there's something standing in your way. Unless you really don't want that life with God because you don't trust him or you don't like what he says. I'd want to hear what God has to say to me unless I really don't trust him to be God. And then I would want to build my life around something more appealing than a God that I don't trust. See, Jesus knows that it's easy to say, yes, we want life with God. It's another thing to live seeking and receiving and desiring that life with God. Jesus knows it's one thing to be in the crowd and to hear about God's love. It's another thing to trust and rely on his love. Jesus knows that God's word for you and me has been declared. It's been announced. It's for us. It's been made known. God has spoken, but he knows that it's possible for us to miss it or ignore it or reject it. And so this parable gives us a kind of chance to assess our response to God and to see how are we doing at responding to this call from him to receive all that he has for us in life with him. And Jesus gives us these four possible responses. And I want to look at each one of them with you for a minute. What's going to keep you and I from receiving all that God has for us in life with him? The first possibility, the first possible response to this call to life with God, Jesus says, is for you to be a footpath. Do you want all that God has for you in life with him, or are you a footpath? And here's what it means to be a footpath. It means your life is so constantly in motion from one thing to another that you live in a pace that never allows you to pay attention to God's call to you in the first place. You're not even listening. Ask yourself, do people and moments and opportunities seem to pass you by? Does life speed by without you ever asking questions about what God wants to do in your life? Because a seed can't grow on a footpath because it's exposed to too much traffic there. And the birds of the air snatch it away. God's call to life with Him, it can't take root and produce the results God wants to produce in your life if it's a place of constant motion in which you're never listening for Him to speak to you. You have to stop traffic to receive what God wants to produce in your life. You have to pull off the road, press pause, get still and quiet, and receive Jesus' invitation to life with Him. And you can do that even if you've never put your faith in God before, if you've never decided to take that leap of faith and to trust Him to be your Lord and your Savior, to trust Him to call you to life with Him, you can do that right now. And I pray that even this morning as we're together, that God produces faith in your life to respond to Him and to trust Him. Let me tell you the easiest way to live as a footpath. This is the easiest way for you to just remain a footpath if that's where you are. It happens when you have no expectation that God has anything to say to you through the Bible. When the Bible's just a closed book that you've already made up your mind you don't understand, then you are going to live like a footpath. If you've never read the Bible and you actually don't know what it says, you might have assumptions of what you think the Bible probably says, but if you've never read it, how will you spend time listening to what God has revealed to you about Himself and about life with Him? And you might think, well, even if I tried to read it, I wouldn't understand it. And I understand that. If the Bible was nothing but a history or a philosophy textbook, then I would agree with you that maybe you'll understand some of it, maybe you won't. But if it is a living, active Word of God, if it's a book that doesn't have a bunch of dead authors behind it, but has a living God behind those words, then I believe it's not just a book for you to understand. It's an introduction to dialogue with the living God, and He wants to speak to you and me through His Word. And maybe the best thing you can do this summer is spend some time cracking that book open and finding out what has God revealed to us about Him, and to ask Him, Lord, speak to me through these words. Be alive to me through these words. Let me hear a call to life with you. You can pull off the footpath and stop the traffic and find out what the living God is saying to you through His living Word. Do you want to receive all that God has for you in life with Him? If so, begin trusting and expecting that He has a lot to say to you. The second possible response that Jesus illustrates for us to this call to life with God is shallow soil. Do you want all that God has for you in life with Him, or are you shallow soil? Maybe you tried believing and listening, and maybe Jesus meant something to you for a little while, but your belief just didn't last. You were inspired, but the inspiration faded. You got convicted of sin, but that conviction just wore off. Or you were convinced of the gospel, but then it just didn't seem to really matter anymore. And being shallow soil means that you know how to look like a believer. You know how to look like you get it. You know how to look like you're all about life with God. But it's possible to look like that on the outside and to stop believing it under the surface. To have the right answers, but to live like none of those answers make any difference in your life, that's shallow soil. When you're a footpath, you aren't even trying to look like you get it. You're too busy to ever stop and consider life with God. But the shallow soil is like people who've considered it, who started to trust God's call to them and still look like they trust Him, but in their thoughts and attitudes and desires and ambitions and identity, Jesus has called a life with Him. It never took root. It never permeated deeply enough to make a difference in who they are or how they live. That's shallow soil. Shallow soil is a life of knowing about Jesus and the life He offers, but never realizing your need for Him and the life He offers. God did not reveal Himself to us in Jesus Christ so we could simply know who He is. That's part of it. But He came because we needed Him. We needed a Savior. It's one thing to know who Jesus is. It's another thing to know you need Jesus. It's one thing to know this call to life with God. It's another thing to know you are desperate for that life with God. Shallow soil doesn't receive the call to life with God any deeper than the surface. And that happens when we don't receive that call to the vulnerable points of our need. There have been times in my life, and maybe you've had times in your life when you've just been coasting along and you get convinced that you're pretty good, that life on the surface is pretty good. And you get convinced that a good surface is good enough. And God has had to help me remember, and I pray He helps you remember, that He wants life with you beyond the surface. A shallow life with God fails to see our need for Him at the deepest level. We need Him through and through. I was thinking about, we can start living like we want God to come into our lives like a housekeeper. Like we invite Him into our house, but we keep the keys. We just want Him to come in and kind of tidy up the kitchen, wipe the countertops, vacuum the carpets, but we'll be the master of our own domain. Thank You, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins. I've got it from here. I'll take the lead now. And that's shallow soil. God doesn't want to just be the housekeeper. He wants to be the builder, the exterminator, the locksmith, and the provider. I need Him to put me back together again. I need Him to make of me what I cannot make myself. I need Him from beginning to end. Are you with me this morning? Do you know that need for Him? Do you want to receive all that God has for you in life with Him? If so, ask Him to meet your deepest needs. The third response that Jesus illustrates in His parable is the thorn bushes. Do you want all that God has for you in life with Him? Or are you so surrounded by thorn bushes that you choke? Plants get choked. This is back to agriculture 101 for a minute. Plants get choked when weeds and other plants around them take the water and nutrients that was intended for them. Jesus explains it this way. He says that sometimes the call to life with God simply gets lost on people who want something else. They hear it. They know the call to life with God. They just want something else. They just don't want life with God as much as they want other things. And to me, this one steps on my toes more than the others do, because it makes me uncomfortable for Jesus to suggest that I might want something else more than I want life with Him. But the world we live in shouts this choking message at us. You will never be satisfied. That's the message of this world. You will never have enough. You will never have it good enough. The Rolling Stones were right. I can't get no satisfaction. Life without God will leave your soul hungry, thirsty, naked, and empty. This is the plight of humanity. We have this natural tendency towards dissatisfaction and discontentment. And this much is true. Life apart from God is never enough, because it lacks all that God wants to produce in our lives. And that's why Jesus said that He's the bread of life and the living water. He says in John's gospel, "Yes, I am the gate," talking about coming into this life with God. "Those who come in through me will be saved. They'll come and go freely, will find good pastures." The thief, the enemy, the devil's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, "My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." Can you imagine being satisfied? What must that feel like? Some of you know what does not satisfy. Some of you work hard, and while you work, there's some satisfaction, but it doesn't last. Some of you got married to the one you knew would fulfill all your heart's desires. And I have a hard time even saying that without smiling, because then you found out they couldn't. Some of you have learned that you can make money, and money can satisfy for a little while, but it doesn't last. Some of you know that life is full of curveballs that surprise us with upset plans, and we put our hope in things time and time again that they just don't leave us satisfied. On the other hand, some of you have tasted of the riches of God's grace, and you have been convinced that you will never find what God has for you anywhere else but in life with Him. You know what that feels like. Some of you can point to God's faithfulness and forgiveness and love and power that has filled your hungry soul, and you know, you are convinced that you have found satisfaction in Jesus Christ, and you know you wouldn't find it anywhere else. Some of you have learned that we have this natural tendency towards dissatisfaction because we were created to be satisfied by our Maker, by God alone. The stones were right. We can't get no satisfaction, except they didn't know the rest of the story. Because there's another song that's sung in Scripture. And Psalm 42 says it really well. "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for You, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with Him?" The psalmist knows he is dissatisfied, but he also knows the one who satisfies our souls. And the seed that lands in thorns gets choked because the thorns leave the seed thirsty and malnourished. And Jesus says all the pursuits of life will do that to you, because you were meant to be satisfied by the living God. Do you want all that God has for you in life with Him? If so, seek satisfaction from Him that only He can produce. Amen. Wanting to receive all that God has for you in life with Him, desiring that, that's the condition of the fertile soil. being ready to receive what He has and integrating that into your life. When a seed is planted in good soil, you can trust that that seed's going to do what the seed was placed there to do. You can wait patiently for the seed to produce some fruit. What might God do in you? What does He want to produce in your life? What faith, what hope, what freedom does He want to produce in your life? What power, what grace, what result of life with Him does God want to produce in you? Do you want to receive all that He has for you in life with Him? I know that you do. And it begins by receiving Jesus with faith. Alex, would you come and join me? This call to life with God, it comes from Jesus and it is made possible through Him alone. Through His death on the cross, Jesus removed every barrier that might lie between you and life with God. You can have this life. You can receive all that God has for you because Jesus gave it all for you. Life with God begins with faith in Jesus. And living with that faith and the One who gave it all for you, that faith that you live with Jesus, that just leads to more and more like a plant that produces 30 and 60 and 100 times what's planted. Can you imagine the riches of His love, the abundance of His grace, the span of His freedom, and the portion of His power that He wants to produce in your life? He wants life with you. He wants you to trust Him and trust that He has life for you that you don't have in yourself. Do you want all that He has for you and life with Him?